KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Hi, it's Charles here. Larry Perel sitting in for Margaret Carrero over there. She's back on Monday. There are now a mere 4 days separating us from Election Day. But even before we get to November 5th, over 64 million Americans have already cast early ballots. Now, that's 40% of the total vote in 2020, putting 2024 on pace to be a record turnout year for voters. On today's Countdown, we will take a final look at the polls and the Electoral College forecast with the man who helped to guide George W. Bush to 2 election victories. And if you're feeling particularly anxious and stressed out about Tuesday, you're not alone. We'll end today's show talking about how to cope with election worries. But first, this.
And Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, they continue to make their closing arguments to voters. Trump, once again using violent-tinged rhetoric, seemed to suggest at an event in Arizona last night with Tucker Carlson that former Congresswoman Liz Cheney should be on the receiving end of a firing squad.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Well, Trump's campaign denying he was calling for Cheney to be executed. Meanwhile, Harris got big endorsements from Jennifer Lopez and LeBron James.
The Marist Poll, a survey group that's had a decent accuracy rate in past elections, released its final polling from the 3 key Midwest swing states. Marist finds Harris leading Trump by 3 points in Michigan. She leads the former president by 2 points in Wisconsin, and she is maintaining that same 2-point lead in Pennsylvania. Another batch of statistics released today that could have an impact on the election wasn't polling, but rather the October jobs numbers, showing just 12,000 new jobs created last month. Trump was quick to seize on the underwhelming report. He called it a catastrophe.
And more warnings about a flood of election disinformation that's making the rounds on social media. FBI saying 2 videos spreading online, one purporting to show a man from Haiti voting illegally in Georgia, and one accusing someone associated with Harris's ticket of taking a bribe from a U.S. entertainer, are fake. And they say they were made by Russia.
The campaign is just about drawn to a close. The final arguments from Trump and Harris are now in, and the field is set for Tuesday. So, where do we stand? Stuart Stevens helped to lead George W. Bush to 2 election victories. That was in 2000 and 2004. He went on to act as a senior advisor to Mitt Romney and several other Republican governors and Senate candidates. He's now an advisor to the Lincoln Project. That's a group formed to oppose Donald Trump. He joins us now on Countdown 2024. So, Stuart, looking at the latest poll numbers, it seems that we are pretty much where we were a few weeks ago. It seems, if the polls turn out to be right, pretty much a dead heat.
First, it's great to be here. I'm a big fan. I think this has been a very stable race. There's 47% of the country that is MAGA or open to MAGA. That's true today. It'll be true on Tuesday. It was true 6 months, probably 8 months, probably a year ago. So that leaves 53% that's not. The goal of the Harris-Waltz campaign is to coalesce as much of that 53% as they can. So we wake up today in a world where Liz Cheney and Bernie Sanders are on the same side. So I think they're doing a pretty good job of building a coalition.
Yeah. You know, as we close in on Tuesday, it appears to be increasingly difficult to tell if the messaging, the finger-pointing and name-calling by the Trump campaign, likewise on the Harris side, along with the clear path forward mantra that she has espoused, are there any indications that on-the-fence voters are being swayed in either direction?
Yeah, there is some data that shows that if you have decided in the last couple of weeks that they are breaking about 2-1 for Harris, that's normal in a race. Because Donald Trump, there's nothing new information about Donald Trump that people are receiving. If you wanted to be for Donald Trump, there was no reason not to be for Donald Trump. The question was, do you want to be for this alternative? And as people learn more, and listen, I have great respect and admiration for the campaign that Vice President's run. I think it's one of the best campaigns that we've seen in modern times. They haven't had a bad day yet, which is really, really hard. So, that seems to be breaking the vice president's way.
Yeah, but when you say that she hasn't had a bad day. I mean, isn't that largely because, as you know, especially early on in this very truncated race, she wasn't really put out there. She didn't have to answer a lot of tough questions. And when she did, the few times that she did, she was pretty much criticized a lot for her non-answers. So she may not have had a, quote, bad day, but did she really have any days that went right over the top?
Oh, I think she had one just the other day with the Ellipse rally. I think she had one Sunday with that extraordinary reproductive rights rally in Houston. You know, this is very hard stuff to do. I mean, when they put on the rally at the Ellipse at the same time, they had First Lady Michelle Obama doing a big event down in Georgia to get people to vote. I think that she probably is advantaged by the fact that she hasn't been running for a year and a half. At this stage in a presidential race, most candidates are just hanging on, trying not to make catastrophic mistakes. They're so tired. And she seems to be getting better. So I find that, just as a political operative, to be very impressive.
You recently said in an interview just the other day that you expect Kamala Harris to win easily. The latest polls, like this new CNN poll released today, also a CBS News poll, I think, released today as well, showing a much slimmer lead in Michigan. And I think really a CBS poll showing a virtual tie in Pennsylvania. We mentioned the Marist poll. Are these other polls wrong? And why do you think so?
Well, I think it's very difficult to poll today. And the Dobbs decision had an effect on the electorate, unlike probably any Supreme Court decision since Brown versus Board of Education on school integration. So all polling is based on modeling. So you can only look at past models to predict future models. But something that's really striking here is, and you guys were talking about the 60 plus million who have voted. There's a 10% gender gap in that vote. So 10% more women are voting than men. Now, we don't know how they voted, secret ballots, but we know that Harris in every poll is winning more women than she is losing men. So, you know, it's pretty simple math. If more women vote than men and she's doing better with women than he's doing with men, that looks like a pretty good outcome.
All right. Well, talking about outcomes, though, Stuart, I mean, here I think is really the bigger issue in many ways. Let's say Trump loses, which I know the Lincoln Project would like to happen. Let's say Trump loses. Still, if the polls are accurate and it comes out to be a fairly close race, that means that roughly half of eligible voters who are going to vote are supportive of not just Donald Trump, but of Donald Trump's ideas, his own ideology, whatever you want to make of it. What do you do with all of those millions of people?
You know, it's a really great question, and I think we all have to be prepared that Donald Trump will never concede. And now we have Elon Musk running Twitter and basically a sort of a surrogate vice president for Donald Trump. He'll never concede, I doubt. So I think we're headed to a very rocky period between the election being finalized, if it goes for Harris, and the inauguration on January 20th.
Define rocky.
Well, that's a great question. Had you asked me on January 5th, 2021, I would have said rocky is people not voting to certify. As it turned out, January 6th was people voting not to certify and a mob trying to hang Mike Pence. So I think the good news is that law enforcement and the states are better prepared for it. You know, one of the sort of striking things about the 2020 election is, you know, in our system, Secretary of States in each state run the elections. And there wasn't one Secretary of State, and the majority of them were Republican, who said that their election didn't go anything but smoothly. So even though the Secretary of States of his own party were saying it wasn't, Trump went out and said there are all these problems. I don't know. I would hope that the Republican Party, the elected officials, which they mostly failed to do, would get about the business of recognizing the and congratulating the election of the President of the United States. That's not a very high goal. But we'll see. Every time the Republican Party's had a chance to turn away from Donald Trump, the most striking being when very few Republican senators voted to convict him after his impeachment the second time, they've run more toward Donald Trump. And I think that we have to come to grips, and it's a painful thing for those of us who worked in the party and don't support Trump. The reason Donald Trump is popular in the Republican Party is because he's giving Republicans what they want.
All right. Stuart Stevens is was senior advisor to Mitt Romney and several other Republican governor and Senate candidates, now advisor to the Lincoln Project, a group formed to oppose Donald Trump. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You bet. All right. Coming up on Countdown 24, Tuesday's election, if it has turned you into...
You want to go back to 2021?
Yeah, I'd like to, actually.
A lot of people do.
I know, same. Which kind of leads to this point, yeah. Really. If Tuesday's election has turned you into a stressed-out ball of anxiety, you are not alone. You got plenty of company. We're going to talk about campaign consternation next. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, LLS.edu/radio. Stick around.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, welcome back to this Friday before Election Day edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Larry Perel, in for Margaret Carrero. Well, no matter which side of the partisan divide you're on, the upcoming election likely causing you some heartburn, maybe a bit of fatigue, and maybe also some added jitter to your favorite caffeinated drink, especially given how close the polling is and the likelihood that we will not know the winner of the presidential race until well past Tuesday. The tensions next week will be extremely high.
Are you tense about the election?
I'm extremely tense.
Are you?
Jittery as well.
Yeah, heartburn?
Heartburn and extremely tired.
I have heartburn. I think it's the pastrami, though, but it could be. Yeah. It could be Tuesday. You never know. Yeah. Dr. Jenny Tate knows, though, a thing or two about treating anxieties. She's a board-certified cognitive behavioral psychologist and author of the book Stress Resets, How to Soothe Your Body and Mind in Minutes. Dr. Tate, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
All right. So is there like a sort of like a quick formula? Because everybody wants things that they can do quickly. Is there a quick formula for soothing ourselves if we're tense about the election and the election outcome?
There are a lot of things we can do. I think one of the most important first steps is just asking yourself if you are framing this as a threat or a challenge. When we're framing something as a threat, when we assume that we don't have the wherewithal to cope, we automatically amplify our physiology. We automatically get in the way of problem solving. We hold ourselves back. And if we can really normalize that this is a very stressful time, but we are well equipped to cope, and just doing that alone will automatically put you in a position where you actually, it becomes like a positive self-fulfilling prophecy. Improving your mindset actually gives you the bandwidth to cope regardless of what happens on Tuesday.
So how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, a threat is something that you can't cope with, and a challenge is something that's difficult, but you believe that you do have the resources to face. And so even just believing like, this is really hard, but I've been through hard things, and this is certainly something I can sit with my emotions around and also troubleshoot. And just the act of doing that will give you the bandwidth to commit rather than catastrophize, to actually do things. Even if your preferred person doesn't seem like they're headlining in the polls, you can still commit to doing, you know, championing the causes that you care about or investing resources, your time to the causes that you're concerned are on the line.
Okay, so now I framed everything, but let's say it didn't work. What's plan B? What's my plan B?
You know, one of my favorite things to tell myself over and over again, I use this in my personal life, and I'm using this with my own election anxiety, is really appreciating
that emotions. Wait, stop. You have election anxiety?
I think anxiety is a normal response to a life event, right?
But doctor, what are you anxious about?
The stakes matter, right?
Right.
So anxiety leads you to do things like make sure I get my ballot in on time, make sure that I'm talking to my friends about what matters to me, giving to the causes. So anxiety, I think that's kind of related to what we were just talking about. We need to really realize that stress can be normal, and framing that as a challenge. This is a challenging time. It's not to be ashamed of feeling anxious. It's kind of a sign that you care.
So you framed it for yourself. Did it work?
Yes.
And how did you go about it?
Right.
Well, I think normal. Well, the second part will help with how I go about it.
Okay,
so really realizing as people, You might be very good at predicting the weather. CanX might be better than most stations, but most of us are terrible at predicting how we will cope with future events in terms of our emotions. Most of us mispredict. We overestimate the duration and longevity of negative emotions. And so even just taking a second to appreciate that if you're telling yourself you're going to need to move and you're not going to be able to recover if things don't go well for you on Tuesday night, really realizing that that is called effective forecasting. It's inherently inaccurate. And experts are really clear. There's incredible research looking at more than 200,000 people that finds that people actually can, you know, bounce back from hard things, and the ability to connect with the moment is one of the most proven ways to do so. So even if things aren't going well Tuesday in your mind, which maybe 50% of people will feel at least, to know that you can still get some joy from the daily things that you're doing, whether it's a meal with a family member or a nice walk in your neighborhood. We need to kind of keep remembering that emotions come in waves, and this thing of anticipating that for the next 4 years you're going to be in crisis mode is not going to be true or helpful.
All right. We are closing out today's Countdown 2024 with Dr. Jenny Tates, looking to ease your election stress. More on that next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to Friday's Countdown 2024, along with Larry Perel in for Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
And psychologist Dr. Jenny Tates stays with us on Countdown as we try to soothe your frayed nerves leading up to Election Day.
You know, the great irony, Doctor, of this whole thing is, for me anyway, is knowing that experts such as yourself are nervous about Tuesday. It's made me calm.
It's me too. It's helped me.
It's helped a lot. Yeah. But when do people need to perhaps realize that any of the exercises that they're doing or that you're recommending, that maybe they're not working and maybe it's a more serious issue and they need to seek professional help?
Yeah, and I just want to come back to what you said. I think stress is the price of a meaningful life. And so being apathetic is not what anyone wants to go after. And so, yes, I think normalizing anxiety is key, and that also improves our physiology. And then I think when you need to seek professional help is if you're really not functioning, if you're struggling with a prolonged period of insomnia, maybe it's normal not to sleep Tuesday night, but if it's stretching well beyond that, or if it's been going on for weeks, and if you feel like you can't face your day-to-day tasks and you feel like a pervasive sense of hopelessness. But I think some normalizing that emotions come in waves, you can sit with your emotions, you can still do things that give you a sense of agency, you can still do things also that give you a sense of joy. And you were asking me about quick things anyone can do. And one of my favorites, we could even do this on the air together right now, is relaxing your face.
Oh,
and
okay.
Ever so slightly. Ever so slightly raising the upper corners of your lips into like what I call a half smile, but it's really a quarter of a smile.
Okay, we're doing that now.
Yeah, and you can tack onto that some slow breathing, you know, breathing in at a pace of five counts in, five counts out through your nose. Your lips are gently closed. With a half smile. And doing that, like we can reset our physiology in minutes. If you're sitting in traffic, you try this with me, half smile, slow breathe. That creates kind of a landscape of acceptance and calm alertness.
Can we breathe now?
Yeah. You're breathing. Okay. You're just breathing slowly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're breathing. Don't stop breathing. Breathe
okay, very
slowly.
Good. All right, look,
the average person breathes like 18 breaths per minute, and slowing that down to about six breaths per minute is really therapeutic.
All right, look, once the dust has settled with this election, if people have been stressed out during the process, and we know many people have been, are there any long-term effects on our health and well-being that we should be looking out for, especially as we get into the holidays? We got Thanksgiving and obviously Christmas coming up, New Year's as well. What should people look out for?
You know, the belief that stress is bad for your health actually makes stress bad for your health. There are studies that have looked at thousands of people that found that if you believe you have stress and you believe it's bad for you, that leads to dying from stress-related causes by 43%. And so I think just normalizing, I felt stress, that mattered because I care about a lot of the issues that were on the line, and you can bounce back from stress. It's really remarkable. Our innate resilience is really profound. Social support does wonders for us. Exercise, getting back to our healthy habits, and certainly seeking help if you feel unable to do those things. But I wouldn't assume that you are going to have irreparable damage.
All right, well, good.
Time.
That's certainly good to know. Don't manifest is what you're basically saying. I
yes.
All right. Psychologist.
Believe in yourself.
That's right. Psychologist Dr. Jenny Tates, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Coming up on Monday's Countdown. Still have my half smile on. Up on Monday's Countdown 2024, we are taking one last look at one of the most contentious propositions in California's ballot. At this year. Should rent control protections be dramatically increased across the state? We will debate Proposition 33 on Monday. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.